Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's great to be along with you for another program, Sports on a Sunday Morning, coming to you live from downtown St. Louis, where it is spectacular outside. Stuart McMillan just gave us the weather forecast. Bill Dager's been talking about it all morning. This is a beautiful day in St. Louis. I just drove through Forest Park on my way here just to take it all in, man. City living. And it looks great. Forest Park, you got joggers out there. You got strollers, dogs, people playing golf. And it was actually a little crisp at that time. Windy, probably around 60. What's the high today? My goodness. What are we talking about here? 78, maybe 80? Look.
Bill Dager says 81.
Oh, my gosh. Bill, I really like Bill. Here's what I want you to do. Just tell a little bit of a lie, but it's okay. Tell your friends that we get great weather in St. Louis. This is how it is, man. 80 degrees and sunny on Sundays. That's how we do it around here. Come on, get over here on the weekend and take in some sports. We're going to have a great, great day. Yesterday was a great day. I was at the Frozen Four, saw the national championship. Western Michigan won over Boston University 6-2, but it was tighter than that. And it was a great crowd, just great people all throughout St. Louis enjoying. They're probably still celebrating a Broncos win and the national championship. So it was fun to have all of them here. I stayed up late last night and watched the Blues lose in a shootout. That was a tough one to take, man. I mean, they came back, tied the game, went to overtime, and then had five different chances to win that thing in the shootout and could not, and lost it in the seventh round. But they get a point, and the tiebreaker scenario is basically this. The Blues need Calgary to lose. That would make it very easy. If Calgary loses in regulation, the Blues are going to get the job done here and clinch the playoffs. If they get a point, then the Blues need a point to clinch on Tuesday. If the Blues see Calgary win in regulation today against San Jose, the Blues need to win in regulation to clinch it. If they end up at this point, you know, sitting around and waiting for Calgary, it gets agonizing. But it is what it is. I mean, they haven't been able to finish the job here, and they lost yesterday to Seattle 4-3 in a shootout. Stayed up and watched that after a night of hockey at Enterprise Center. It was a good day. And before that, the Masters. Holy smokes, what an unbelievable pairing that is today at 1:30. Rory McIlroy going for the career slam, finally getting the green jacket, and look who's right on his heels, Bryson DeChambeau. Same thing as last year at the U.S. Open. Pinehurst. Now they do it again. So Dan Reardon's going to join us here in a few minutes to talk about that. And yes, the three matchups here in downtown St. Louis today. It starts with the Cardinals at 1:15. The Cardinals taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. Yesterday, the Cardinals lost by a final of 4-1. We talked about this last week, that it was early in the season, and unfortunately, that means that the offense is going to regress and come back to normal. Doesn't mean the offense is bad. It means they got off to a crazy good start, and you can't sustain that forever. So they were eventually going to fall back, and the hope was that the pitching would be able to improve. Well, the pitching has improved, but the offense fell way back. So the last three games now, the offense has not been there, and they got a win out of it. But they lost the extra inning game to the Pirates in 13, and the reason they lost the game was not because Ollie Marmol pulled Eric Fetty with a no-hitter. It has nothing to do with it. He wasn't going to pitch more than another inning anyway, and he already had walked four leadoff hitters. The reason they lost the game is the offense wasn't there. They didn't hit. They had a lot of opportunities in extra innings to get the extra run, and they couldn't do it. Eventually, the Pirates are going to get one if you give them that many chances. So they did, and they won the game. And then they didn't have any offense on Friday, but Andre Pallante didn't care. He just shoved, man. He looked great. He beat Aaron Nola, and the Cardinals won that game 2-0. Sleepy Phillies team, I get it. They went to bed at like 5 in the morning. Don't care. Nobody feels sorry for the Cardinals when they have to go to bed at 3, 4 in the morning, or they have to deal with rain delays or travel or injuries. Nobody. Nobody feels sorry for the Cardinals, including some of their own fans, actually. So I don't feel sorry for the Phillies for 1 second. Cardinals won the game. Next day, you know, Miles Michaelis, who I advocated to maybe go back to the bullpen or go to the bullpen for the first time, be a long reliever, put Mats in the rotation, or maybe even dip into Memphis and get Michael McGreevy. They stick with Michaelis. He's better, but he gives up a couple of early runs. Maybe something to build on for him, I hope. 5 innings, gives up 3 runs on 3 hits. Cardinals lose the ballgame 4-1 again. Not Michaelis' fault. They don't hit. Cardinals don't hit yesterday. They don't get enough. They had 9 hits, but they don't have key hits, and they only end up with 1 run. And then today, you know, today you're facing one of the best pitchers that the Cardinals face in Zach Wheeler. They're going to counter with Matthew Liberatore, and perhaps they can find a way to get that win. Then at 2 o'clock, the St. Louis Battlehawks are playing at the Dome. That's a whole different world and environment over there. Those fans love the Battlehawks. They love football. I saw ESPN.com wrote up something about St. Louis being an NFL town, and that's why the Battlehawks do so well. That's right. We are an NFL town. We didn't lose the team. That team got taken from us. It had nothing to do with us. Zero to do with St. Louis. We supported that NFL team, and it got taken. So all we're doing is just doing what we do. Rooting and cheering on a football team in the Dome. And that's why it's such a great environment. They're going to keep on winning, too. They play the D.C. Defenders today. Tough team. See if they can handle them today. And then finally, City. City's got to find a way to score goals. But they play tonight against Columbus. And guess what? An 80-degree day. People are probably making plans right now to get out and have a few pops and enjoy and put on some sunscreen and just enjoy the day out there in downtown West. And then head in and have some fun tonight. I'll be there, 6 o'clock, City against Columbus. Should be awesome. Y98 FM will have that. Regardless of how they play, I think people have fun there. But at some point, you got to get some offense going if you're City. I think there's some pressure on that team to win right now and to get to the playoffs. So they're going to have to, I don't know what they do there, play loose. Klaus suggested maybe just calm down a little bit. I think you take a few gambles, not be so defensive-minded. I don't know. We'll talk about it with Lutz Van and Steele at 11:15. Dan Reardon's next. We'll talk Masters with him. I love this kind of a day. Sports all over the place. The final round of the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. Dan Reardon next.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
And here is Dan Reardon, our senior golf editor from KMOX, joining us live from Augusta, Georgia. Augusta National, one of the finest pieces of real estate on the planet. How are you, Dan?
I'm fine, Tom, and I'd say given the circumstance, we're at the center of the sports universe this afternoon.
I would agree. Rory McIlroy going for the career slam, trying to get that green jacket that has evaded him for so long. He is so close. And here comes Bryson DeChambeau once again, right on his heels. A repeat of last year's U.S. Open, Dan, and hopefully not for Rory's sake, because Bryson not only chased him down, but Rory missed a couple of shorties that led to that victory, didn't he?
He did, Tom. Although, people are talking about Bryson beat Rory at Pinehurst, and I tweeted out, I said, the truth is that Rory beat Rory at Pinehurst, because Bryson was that final day leader, and Rory caught him and passed him and then gave it back to him. And Bryson made a great up and down to save par at 18, but that was not a run your opponent down. And today is pretty simple. Rory McIlroy is very likely playing the most important round of golf he will play in his entire lifetime. I mean, it's just that simple. You know that. I know that. Rory knows that. And Bryson knows that. And so the person that controls what happens today is the Irishman. If he comes out and plays sort of like he played yesterday, he doesn't have to shoot 66, but plays in the moment, Bryson will not beat him. Bryson scrambled yesterday. John Patrick from Augusta was sitting next to me in the interview room yesterday, and we agreed. Listening to Bryson talk, it sounded like he won the interview room and lost the third round. But the fact of the matter is, it sounded like Bryson was trying to talk to himself as much as he was talking to us. So we'll see how that plays out. But this is all in Rory's hands. Bryson cannot really, realistically cannot control this outcome.
You're right. I actually watched this on the Golf Channel, and I'm sure he shared this with you all in any sort of press. But Jack Nicklaus was on there on Thursday after the ceremonial tee shot and once that first round got going, and he shared the lunch that he had with Rory about a week or so ago in Jupiter at the Bears Club, where he said, "Tell me, shot for shot, what you're going to do at Augusta." And Rory went through the entire course with him, and he said, "I didn't say anything. I just listened, and I said I would not change a thing."
Well, and you know who may be the most important person today? He's not even here at the golf course, because every day that Rory has played this week, his morning begins with a conversation with Bob Rotella. And the sports psychologist has literally nursed him through this round, particularly coming off of the stumble coming in on Thursday and what he was going to do at the start of the round on Friday. And what Rotella told him was, don't try to do it all at one time. And Rory went out and birdied the second hole shot, one under par on the front nine, and then lit up the back nine. And it was that advice from Rotella that allowed him to keep himself in the moment and stay in focus and do all those sorts of things. I'll admit, Tom, I'm rooting for the guy. He's one of the greatest guys in golf right now. There's nothing you could say about him as a person that you could be critical of. And he's earned the right to have that green jacket. But that colors all my analysis of what might take place today, is rooting for him.
No, I understand. I pull for these people as well. I'm not around them as much as you, but I have been. And at the PGA Championship, I can tell you that Rory McIlroy treated me like I was a Hall of Fame media person. I mean, I went up to him after one of his practice rounds, and I said, "Rory, my name's Tom Ackerman. I'm with KMOX here in St. Louis. Could I ask you a few questions?" And he goes, "We can do it right now if you want. Just walk with me." And so we walked to the clubhouse. We did an interview right outside the clubhouse. And I said, "I think I'm supposed to get someone to take a picture of us for our website." And he goes, "Let's do a selfie. Wouldn't that be better?" And so we, and then he chatted with me. He goes, "Tell me about your station." I said, "The Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals." He goes, "Oh, that's awesome." He goes, "I've really enjoyed being here. I like St. Louis a lot." And then he went about his way. And I just, little personal touches like that. But I've heard the same has turned for Bryson. He really has made a point to be personal, to reach out, to talk to people, and be approachable.
And I've been so impressed with this change in Bryson DeChambeau. He's gone from a very brash, sort of irritating kind of personality, who was very public about everything, to a guy that, has perspective. I sort of think he lost or wasted about 3 or 4 years of his golf career trying to do things that he shouldn't have been doing, but he was bright enough to discover what he needed to do. And let's just talk about the golf. One thing to be aware of is that Bryson has birdied 18 two of the 3 days. 18 is the second hardest hole in this tournament. So he has that sitting in his mind. if he's within a stroke or leading. Rory has birdied the third hole 9 times in his career, including twice this week. So, and Rory has, I think, 13 eagles in his career here, including 3 this week. So if he can handle the par fives, if he can do what he has been doing on the par threes, and then the key is, I tweeted this morning, if Rory doesn't have to take a drop, if there's no penalty drops out there, that 2-shot margin will be really difficult to overcome. In Bryson's case, he hit 50% of the greens yesterday. He's been hitting 59%. You can't do that. He had 24 putts on Thursday, 25 putts yesterday. You can't do that again today and expect to catch a player of McIlroy's talent if McIlroy is playing anywhere near his potential. And every leader on the final day comes back a little bit. You say, if you just shoot par, you can do this. And a lot of times that leader wins but doesn't shoot par.
An incredible setup today, this pairing Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau tee off at 1:30 Central Time. A couple of contenders behind them, you know, they seem to be distant. My pick, Ludvig Åberg, hanging in there, made a nice run late in the round yesterday. He's 6 shots off the lead. He's paired with Jason Day. Patrick Reed is also 6. He and Corey Connors teeing off at 1:20. Connors, what a steady, interesting player he is. He's only 4 shots behind Rory. What do you think about him?
Corey Connors is a really wonderful player, but he would be the star of the LIV Tour because he's the master of the 54-hole format. Sundays are not kind to Corey Connors, and I'm not saying that in a harsh or critical way, but it's just his history. It's not particularly good. But I'll throw another name at you, and his form indicates this is never going to happen. But out of the players you've mentioned there, you know the player who I think is the only one somewhere on the leaderboard who could throw a 65 at the field? It's Scottie Scheffler. Mm-hmm. He knows how to play this course. He has played poorly through most of the week. But Scottie is the kind of player who can show up one day and throw, you know, thunder at you. And I think that Scheffler has that in him. But it really is going to come down to these two guys. We know that the winner of the Masters in recent years has come out of that final group. And it's going to do it again today because both of them aren't going to back up to allow Åberg or Connors or Reed or any of those guys to get into this mix. We're in for a great time. You know, I'm going to hopefully spend the front 9 out on the course. I know I'll never see a shot because of the size of the galleries, but you've done this before. I know I want to experience the galleries going off and see what that mood is going to be. And you have, you know, I did that weird contest this morning, but you do have a Ryder Cup kind of format to this. You have a LIV versus PGA Tour. You have a lot of variables that play well into this situation, and I want to see how the crowd wants to play it. Do we get chance of USA out of them? How is it going to be? It's just a really exciting moment. Hopefully it doesn't disappoint.
I hope it's great. I know that the sports world will be glued to it. The Masters final round today. Rory McIlroy 12 for the championship. Bryson DeChambeau is 10. They go at it at 1:30 this afternoon on CBS. Dan, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate you.
Enjoyed it, Tom.
Thank you. Dan Reardon, our senior golf editor, live from the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. When we come back, we'll be joined by Josh Schertz, the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens, is going to tell us about not one, not two, not three, all 4 players that he has landed so far in the transfer portal. It's going to be, I think, an exciting time down at Chaffetz Arena this coming season. He may have a little more of a team to his liking. He'll explain that next, right here on KMOX from the Stiefel Sports.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Studio.
On 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. What a busy day. Cardinals, Battlehawks, City all playing. Final round of the Masters. We're keeping an eye on hockey for the Blues' sake as they are trying to make the playoffs. There's so much going on, and it is absolutely busy in the portal right now. College basketball is a year-round sport, as you know, and Josh Schertz, the head coach of the Billikens, joins us, as he would very well know. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, Tom, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you. And college basketball has wrapped up, but it doesn't mean that the activity has stopped. I mean, it is crazy trying to put together a roster these days.
Yeah, I think actually I tell people the busiest time of year is from the buzzer of your last game to whenever you complete your roster. And, you know, it actually turns into the busiest time of the year as you figure out who's coming back, and then what you need and what that looks like. And as you said, it's a mad dash once the season ends. But you know, you can make a case that it's in some ways the most important time of the year, because certainly the goal is for everybody to assemble a championship caliber roster, and to do that, you got to have obviously elite level talent, you got to have elite character, and you got to have depth. And everybody's rushing to try to put those together.
Absolutely. Let's work our way backwards, because you've announced four players, and I want to get to them in just a minute. But right now, there's still more to do, right? I mean, you're still actively looking, trying to secure some commitments here.
Yeah, no, we're still full speed ahead. We have a big weekend, and, we're trying to put the finishing touches. I think, the 2 years I've had, I think we've done the best job of, in terms of the portal. We've actually been able to get done in mid to late April. I think the hope is, we're on a similar trajectory, but we still got to add a couple more pieces to finalize it.
Well, that's exciting to see how it all turns out, because we all know what your history is at Lincoln Memorial, at Indiana State, and now at St. Louis University, given time and building what you want. And at SLU last year, was a good year. I mean, you had some ups and downs for sure. You had some challenges, but let's look at what you've added here. And I'll tell you, one of the players on the floor at Chaffetz Arena was Paul Otieno. I watched it, and you just naturally start thinking about this day and age. When you watch games, you think, man, Paul Otieno, who's going to go grab him? Quinnipiac, yeah. I mean, he looked unbelievable to me. And when it's all said and done, he got your attention too, because he is now a St. Louis Billiken.
He really was. It was honestly when you go play somebody, you prepare for them. And I remember I was watching Quinnipiac's previous two games, and I asked, I was like, who is this kid? You know what I mean? Like, I watched them. They played UMass Lowell the game before we played them, and he had 10 offensive rebounds in that game. Not 10 rebounds, but just 10 offensive rebounds. And Paul is, you know, every bit of 6'8", 6'9", 235 pounds. He's unbelievable in terms of his effort, his athleticism, his physicality. He was 6th in the country in offensive rebounding. You know, he's a true center offensively, but he can step out and shoot the basketball. He can handle the basketball, not at Robbie's level, but he does a lot of things there. He's a really good athlete. And then, you know, you can pair him with Robbie because he can guard fours, he can guard threes, he can take a five. And so, you know, he can guard. He has great defensive versatility, can catch the ball on the seams, monster on the offensive glass. And, you know, I think he blocked more shots this year himself than our entire team did. So in some areas we needed offensive rebounding, shot blocking, physicality, and the ability to give us some versatility to play. He and Robbie together, but they can also both play separate of each other. I think that was a home run for us.
What about Quentin Jones, who you were able to grab from Northern Illinois? He's a scorer?
Yeah, Quentin's a really unique player. He led, Northern Illinois was obviously didn't have a great year, but he himself was terrific. You know, you watch them, they struggled offensively, but he led the MAC in scoring last game. He wound up getting hurt in the first minute and went from first to third, but he led the league in scoring all year. What was impressive is, 46% though from the field on a team that didn't shoot a high percentage, 36% from three, made 54 threes. And then he had 107 assists and only, 73 turnovers. So a great assist turnover ratio. He's got great playmaking skills at 6'5". You always want size and playmaking. He can really handle pass shoot. We think in our system, the way we play, he's got incredible versatility on both ends. But we love his playmaking, love his shooting. He can get by. He's a good defender, and he's a terrific for a guard. He's a plus-plus offensive rebounder, gets on the glass, averaged, almost five rebounds a game for them as well.
Trey Green from Xavier is a guard there. Tell me about his journey right now, because obviously he didn't get to play a ton this year.
Yeah, so Trey was a guy that, I recruited in the summer of 22. I was recruiting a number of guys on MOCAN when I was at Indiana State. So I saw them probably more than any team, I've ever seen in AAU, just because of, they had, Kyan Evans and Caden Fish and Kennard Davis and Kyle Polk and, all these different guys that we were, Josiah Doetzler. They had all these different guys in Indiana State that we were recruiting. And so I had to see them play 20 some times, and I was at every game at the Peach Jam, and I just loved Trey Green. Obviously, we weren't in a position to recruit him. He was a top 60 player in the country. You could just tell, just our kind of guy, like had great toughness, great skill, courageous. He's a smaller guard, but he can get anywhere he wants to on the floor. He's an incredible shooter. He's got a high level of confidence. Can play make, facilitate, finds a balance of him. Went to Xavier, and first year was all rookie team in the Big East. So had a really good freshman year for them. Second year, early in the year, he wound up stepping away from the team for some personal reasons. And I think came back and practiced, got a redshirt year for it. But he's a guy that, I think can in this system, I think he can be spectacular. I really do. He's so dynamic. He shoots it with range, can handle it, can get where he wants to, can get a shot anytime he wants to. is a terrific passer, willing passer, tough defensively. If you're going to have small guards, they got to be able to shoot off the dribble. You got to be able to shoot with range, you know, and he does those things at a high level. He'll have, they're not the same, but he's got, you know, a lot of similar qualities to Isaiah, who obviously was very successful as a small guard for us, both at Indiana State and here at St. Louis. And I think Trey can have, you know, a very, very similar type year for us.
That sounds very encouraging. And then Deion Brown, who's a tough 6'3 guard, does a lot of things well. It kind of sounds like a player that anybody would want on their team, but he also lit up North Carolina for 20 points in a game last year.
Yeah, Deion, you know, we talked about, you know, addressing issues, and we felt like, you know, obviously playmaking was a huge issue for us last year. You know, offensive rebounding, forcing turnovers, getting more athletic, getting faster, getting more skilled, being more athletic, positional size, all those things, a lot of boxes to check. Deion's a unique player. You know, he's, if you rewind it back to the year before at Maryland, Baltimore County, he led the America East in scoring and rebounding at 6'3", averaged 21.4 points a game and 9.6 rebounds a game. Huh. So, you know, pretty remarkable for somebody that size to average basically, you know, 21.4 and 9.6. He's got a great knack for the ball, incredible cutter, really athletic, wired to score, has shot 35% or better all 3 years of his college career from three, is very capable shooting, but great cutting instincts, terrific offensive rebounder, great athlete, plus defender. I think he's got the type of versatility. We're trying to create a roster with the type of versatility that he can play with anybody, but gives us a chance to be more like, you know, what we hopefully had at Indiana State in terms of the versatility, the skill level, playmaking offensively. I think that was, you know, a big reason we turned the ball over so much is how much playmaking responsibility fell onto Robbie and Isaiah. The ability for you know, to disperse that more is a huge thing. The ability to build more depth for, you know, to obviously hopefully play guys less minutes and less being more for a lot of guys. And but Deion's a guy that, you know, checks a ton of boxes for us and started at Boston College, started in the ACC this past year. But you go back to his time at UMBC, and I think he's an electric type player and a fantastic athlete with a huge motor. Our fans will probably see a lot of similarities with Deion and kind of the level of toughness and effort that Dylan Warlick plays with. Just, you know, Deion has a lot of those similar traits, but just is a fantastic athlete on top of that.
And speaking of that, we know of your returnees. One, I think, of note that we would want to ask about here before we go is Kellen Thames. Is there anything you can tell us about his progression?
Yeah, Kellen is just, you know, he's working through trying to figure out exactly from a medical diagnosis standpoint, you know, what he's dealing with. We have some ideas on that. You know, Kellen himself will, you know, I think address those when he's comfortable to. But there's nothing, you know, confirmed. They have some diagnosis that they're researching, looking at. We hope we'll have some answers there. And then once we have like a confirmed diagnosis on what he's dealing with, you know, then we can get to like, what are the next steps? What are the solutions? Is there a solution? Nothing that they're looking at is anything that would be fortunate, anything, you know, life threatening for Kellen or anything like that. It's really just like, what can his basketball career continue? At what level can it continue? And so they're looking at that. And it could be as simple as, hey, he's going to be ready to go next year, and we have contingencies if that's the case, or if there isn't, then we have contingencies in case of that. But regardless of whatever the diagnosis lands on, you know, Kellen's going to be a part of our program next year in some capacity. The capacity just is based on how these test results shake out. And he knows, which, you know, we've got his, you know, his back 100%. We support him, love him, and he's whatever it is, whether he's hopefully in uniform, because man, is he a heck of a player, and would we be so much better if he's able to play and compete? Would we have been? I would have looked a lot smarter last year if he was able to play after the first four games, you know. We hope he can play, but certainly whatever happens, Kellen's going to be a part of our program.
He is quite a talent. Coach, thank you for that update and for all of your updates here. It's been a valuable 12 minutes spent with you here on KMOX. We look forward to our next visit.
Sounds great. Appreciate the time. We'll talk soon and look forward to connecting. Great day for St. Louis sports. So let's go do it.
Yes, it is. We'll take a look at the Blues coming up next. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX right after this.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Back on the show, our producer is Drew Young. I'm Tom Ackerman. We're here until noon. Cardinals pregame at 12:20 with Joe Pott. A lot coming here on KMOX in the next hour plus, sports on a Sunday morning. Here's the lineup for the Cardinals today against Zach Wheeler. It will not be easy, but when is anything easy against the Philadelphia Phillies? Cardinals won the first game, lost the second, going for a series win today. Before we talk some hockey, here's the lineup for the Cardinals. Lars Nootbaar is going to play left field and lead off. Batting second, Alec Burleson, he's the DH. Brendan Donovan will be the shortstop today. He bats third. Nolan Arenado is at third base batting fourth. Wilson Contreras will bat fifth and play first base. Contreras hitting 132 on the season. Nolan Gorman is in the lineup playing second base and batting sixth. Jordan Walker is in right field batting seventh. Joel Pozo behind the plate batting eighth. And Victor Scott II will be the center fielder and bat ninth today for the Cardinals. The Cardinals have Mason Wynn on the IL. They have a few issues they're trying to sort out in terms of their roster. We'll talk to John Mozeliak about it at 11:30. Right now, we're going to talk some hockey. The Blues are still waiting to make the playoffs. If you stayed up late like me and watched the shootout last night, it was frustrating. Two reasons. One, they couldn't get the goal to win it. But two, I hate that this is coming down to stuff like that, you know? I mean, a shootout, really? This is how we're going to decide whether the Blues go to the playoffs or not? It's not done yet. The Blues need Calgary to lose. Go Sharks. If the Blues lose tonight, or if the Flames lose tonight, the Blues are in great shape and they'll make the playoffs. If not, the Blues need to win that last game in regulation if Calgary keeps winning. We'll see how it all sorts itself out. Let's first hear from Jim Montgomery, the Blues coach. The Blues lost 4-3 in a shootout. They had Nick Leddy with a goal and an assist, Radek Foxa, Colton Parayko had goals in regulation, Jordan Binnington finished with 14 saves. He was really good in the shootout, but so was Philip Grubauer. 20 saves in the game, he was great in the shootout, and the Blues, for five straight rounds, could not get the final goal to win it, and then they end up watching Chandler Stephenson score it for the Kraken in the seventh round of the shootout. Here's Monty.
Well, you're always glad. You got to grab points. We didn't grab a point last game. If we would have grabbed a point last game, we would have been in real good shape. But we're still in really good shape. We control our own destiny. I think after the Four Nations, if anyone said we could win our last game of the year and we make the playoffs, we'd all take it. You know, so we're in a real good spot because of the effort we've done over the last couple of months.
Just three shots there in the opening period. Did you guys just not have a lot of jump to start the game? Or?
Yeah, I just think we were a little tight to start the game for whatever reason, but we loosened up, and I thought our second period, the first 5 minutes, we started to see Blues hockey, and the entire third. I didn't like how tight we were defensively in the third. I thought we gave them a little bit too much space after we had dominated for quite a bit.
You've played the game. You know what's at stake. How hard is it to deal with the pressure in these games at this time of the year?
If you're immersed in the moment and you're thinking about what you control, which is your next shift and what you're supposed to do, and you're immersed in the details and our habits, then you don't even feel the pressure. This is welcomed opportunity, and that's the way we're looking at it.
Earlier today, you didn't know you were going to have Parayko in the lineup. You get him. He scores a big goal. How did he look?
He looked really good. You know, looks like he's ready to go full tilt again.
There is Jim Montgomery, head coach of the Blues, talking to reporters after the game. So, again, the situation is this. If Calgary loses in regulation to San Jose, the Blues clinch. If Calgary beats San Jose, which I'm going to tell you right now, I anticipate them doing. I mean, if they lose to the Sharks and that ends their season, I mean, you got to be better than that. Sharks aren't very good. I would think that the Flames are going to win. So if that's the case, then the Blues need to win in regulation to clinch on Tuesday against Utah. And as Jim Montgomery said, if you're going to come home and play Utah and that's to make the playoffs and you control your own destiny, they would take that. The Blues have to go do that. I mean, you play in your home arena, place will be rocking, you go get the job done. If the Sharks get the job done for you tonight, then you don't have to deal with it. But you're probably going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to win your way in, and the Blues do control their own destiny. If Calgary gets a point today, So if they end up losing in overtime or a shootout, the Blues need a point on Tuesday to clinch. But it really comes down to just win the thing in regulation, you're good to go. Good news is they have Colton Parayko back. He has rejoined the team. Here he is.
Prizely addition to the lineup. How did you feel out there?
Felt good, yeah. Just kind of tried to build into last week, and I mean, I guess throughout the whole process. But just last week has been kind of good where you turned the corner and just each practice got better and better. So this morning felt pretty good, so I thought I'd give it a go.
Okay, walk us through your goal. That was a big one there.
Just noticed that they had some guys that kind of got trapped below our goal line, and just tried to jump up in the play, make an odd man rush, and then push it out to Tomer, and Tomer made a great play. I believe it was through the guy's legs, and just tried to make a move, and yeah.
So only three shots for you guys in the opening period. What kind of led to the sluggish start, but as time went on, you guys got going?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, no real reason or... I guess for the sluggish start, I think for us as a team, just make sure that when we are playing our best, we get things pucks deep. We're getting two guys on the puck. We're working together and things like that, working as a five-man unit. But I think for our group, that's the biggest thing we need to focus on is just continue that. And I think in the second and third, we continue to build, like you mentioned. In the third, for sure, we had a great period, I thought, and yeah, it was good.
A big point there. It gives you a chance to control your destiny in this final game. A few months ago, if you'd have said you had a chance to win one game and get in, I would imagine you would have taken that.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, the group has done a great job over the last month and a bit here, and since the break, and they've been playing extremely well, putting wins together, putting points in the bank, and like you said, win and we're in. So it's in our court. Regroup. Couple days here. Go home. Regroup and put our best foot forward and give ourselves a good chance at getting into the playoffs.
There is Colton Parayko. Thanks to the Blues for that audio as he talks to reporters late last night, early this morning, after the 4-3 shootout loss to the Seattle Kraken. Nice to have Parayko back for sure. And he, I thought, really guided us through that very well as to how the Blues are handling things right now. And Jim Montgomery especially, and his positivity, keeping the team focused. Even though they've dropped a few games here since their 12-game winning streak, they still feel like they can control their own destiny. They do. And if Calgary does not win today in regulation, they get a point. They're still alive. If they get beat in regulation, it is over. But they're playing San Jose. Let's also look at the Frozen Four from yesterday. I had the best time yesterday. Took my daughter, Erica, who is heading to Miami. I'm wearing the M if you are looking on YouTube or wherever. I've got my Miami pullover. She's going to Miami of Ohio. They have a great college hockey program. Didn't have a great year last year, but they have a great tradition, awesome arena. And they'll be seeing Western Michigan four times. So she wanted to see them up close last night, and did she ever. They won 6-2 over Boston University last night at Enterprise Center, and they claimed the national championship for the first time. It was Western Michigan's first ever trip to the Frozen Four. My view of that arena was just spectacular with all the colors of the different jerseys. I didn't realize that people wear jerseys from all schools. So people bought tickets to the Frozen Four hoping their team would get in, and then they just stayed. Minnesota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, they were all represented there all across the board. You saw teams, fans from different teams. And then, make no mistake about it, the last line of the national anthem, the home of the Blues crowd was loud last night. It was very obvious there were Blues fans in the house last night. Just a great hockey atmosphere overall. It was sold out at Enterprise Center. Great job by the St. Louis Sports Commission and the organizers. Frozen Four in the books. So is the first hour of this show. We'll be back with more after this.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.